I was planning to say something really dynamically important right after that video had ended, but you won't get that. So that's to put table that idea until a couple weeks from now. But I'm excited to be here. Thank you. It's a blessing to be a part of this church. It really is. I can't imagine serving anywhere else, and I'm grateful to be with the team that I have. God's placed a wonderful team around me of just great friends who we do ministry with. We work hard together, and it's just a joy, and I hope that I get to do it for as long as God lets me have a voice to be able to preach and communicate. And this morning, God has given us a task to be able to communicate to you on a basic principle of alignment. And that is, we talked about last week, that our job is not a system of steps that we follow, but it is working together, all together, on three main things: to know God more, to make Him known, and make disciples. And this all works together. It's not something that you graduate to. You just don't come to a place where you know God more to, I feel comfortable enough to make Him known, and then once I feel like I'm making Him known and got the handle of this, then I'll worry about making disciples. It really is not the recipe. The recipe is we do this all together. And as you're doing this all together, it is actually driving you to want to know God more, because you're going to get yourself in the weeds when you are making Him known. You're going to get yourself a little over your head when you're making disciples. And those are the things that are going to drive you to your knees and to time with God to be able to teach you more about Him. You're going to discover more about Him, and it's just going to come alive of what you're experiencing. And so my heart's desire is that this is not a message series that you guys will just remember that we preached, but hopefully you'll understand this is the mantra of North Point Church. This is how we're going to live and how we're going to die in terms of a church, and how we want to align our church ministries with everything that's associated with that. We want to give you opportunities to know God more. We want to give you opportunities to make Him known. We want to help. We want to encourage you to make disciples and teach you how to do that. And our heart's desire is that you would hear this message and this type of theme repeated over and over in everything that you hear us do. I know that if you've gone through our new members class, this is a topic that we've talked about a lot. Hopefully you see that this message today is just building upon what I'm telling you is coming. You'll see more and more of this content. In a couple weeks, today you have a chance to buy one of those t-shirts that says, Know Him More, Make Him Known, Make Disciples. Wear that and help us to be able to get this, not just in our head, but in our heart. So this morning, I want to talk to you about making Him known. Last week, we spent a lot of time about knowing God more and how that all works together. But the making Him known component is where I want to spend some time with you today. Hopefully, you have your message guide with you. And it starts off with a passage of scripture that's in Exodus chapter 20. But before we read that scripture, here's kind of what's happening. Exodus chapter 19, all the way through Exodus chapter 32, you have the encounter that Moses has with God when he gets the Ten Commandments. And so he gets the Ten Commandments from God, and in addition to that, God gives him chapter after chapter of rules and ways to judge, and if this happens, then this person needs to be punished this way, and it's just this list and list and list and list of things. But what happens in Exodus chapter 20, verse 22, I could have pulled 19 different verses out, but God says something like this many times to Moses. Put it up on the screen. Then the Lord says to Moses, tell the Israelites this, you have seen for yourself that I have spoken to you from heaven. Just stop there for a second. You see, this is the theme is that Moses is on Mount Sinai and he is getting a word from God. But what God is saying, what happens on this mountain, what I am teaching you, doesn't stay on this mountain. I want you to go down and tell the children of Israel all that I've told you. Tell them that you've encountered me and teach them everything that I'm getting ready to tell you. And so God just tells Moses chapter after chapter of rules and things that he would bring. And of course, we know how the Ten Commandments went and the whole golden calf and all that. I don't have time to talk about that. But the main point is that I want you to take away is from the early moments in Scripture, back in the Old Testament, and some of the most familiar stories that you and I have, there is a central theme that what happens when you encounter God doesn't just stay there, but it actually comes down. What happens on the mountain can't stay on the mountain. It needs to come down and reach the people. Do you follow that? Very simple principle. But the same thing is true when it comes to our knowledge about Jesus Christ. You've heard it said that some people only have a head knowledge of God, but not a heart knowledge of God. And what they're basically saying is what happens up here can't just stay here, because that doesn't save. In fact, it says that the demons know who God is. I mean, and that there's people that you will talk to as you encounter friends and families and neighbor and coworkers. You will discover that they have a head knowledge of who God is. As a matter of fact, they're difficult to be able to lead further because they seem to know all the right answers and to say all the right things, but yet their life is completely out of alignment, which tells you that they don't have a heart knowledge of who God is. Write this down in your message guide. What happens in your head must make it to your heart. What happens in your head must make it to your heart. What happens on the mountain can't stay on the mountain. It's got to get down to the people. What happens in your head, this mountain, some of you have like beautiful long hair like the Swiss Alps. Some of you are like bald rock, you know. But what happens on this mountain can't stay here. It can't stay in your head. It's got to move down into the heart. Romans chapter 10, verses 18 through 15. Listen to what it says. It's describing this, starting in verse 8, chapter 10 of Romans. In fact, it says, this message is very close at hand. It's on your lips and in your heart. See, there's something about this. It's coming out of your mouth. It's coming out of your heart. It's not something that's just in your head. Listen to how it quantifies this. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare, some of your translations say, if you confess with your mouth that the Lord, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is for us to understand, for it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God. And it is by open declaring your faith that you are saved. You see, it's something more than just having a head knowledge of who God is. There's something about our heart. It says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, God's word tells us. And so this is the principle here that's taking place, that what's coming out of your mouth needs to be what's in your heart and based upon what you believe. And it's that type of understanding, that type of belief built upon faith is what saves you. You can know all there is to know about God in terms of his word. You can read it, but if it isn't something that sinks down into your heart, you are as lost can be. And you can die separated from God. There has to be something inside of us that translates this head knowledge into a heart understanding, a faith understanding, a belief understanding. Verse 10 again, for it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Did you see what happened there? It's saying that what has happened in your heart can't just stay in your heart. It has to get out there. You notice what happened on the mountain can't stay on the mountain. What happens in the head just can't stay in the head. It's got to move to the heart. But what happens to the heart, what happens in the heart, it needs to come out of the mouth. I'm going to read it again, verse 10, for it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved, that comes out of you. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew or Gentile are the same in this respect. They all have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It doesn't matter who you are and what you've done. But then it talks about those now on the outside. This is something that has to happen inside you. You have to move it from your head to your heart. But now there's a responsibility that you and I have to make him known. Listen how it continues. Paul writes in verse 14, talking about those who haven't heard. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Do you follow the logic? I mean, okay, so we want them to believe, but how are they going to believe unless someone tells them? They won't hear it unless somebody tells them. And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That's why Scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers that bring good news. You know what this means, church family? That we are God's delivery system of this message of hope that he's placed inside of us. We are God's delivery system. You and I, we are God's primary plan. He doesn't have a plan B on how his message and how the gospel gets communicated to the world. How can they hear unless somebody tells them? How will they understand unless someone is sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who spread the good news, who bring the gospel message. You and I have some ugly feet. But when we're sharing the gospel message, they're beautiful. Folks, we are God's delivery system. He doesn't have a plan B. He goes on to say, follow along in your message guide there, we are Christ's ambassadors. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 through 21, that you and I as individuals, let's read it together, but we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord. So we have this responsibility, and he actually refers to it as fearful, which means that we don't mess with this responsibility. That we as Christians understand that there's a responsibility that when we surrender our life to him, that God gave us his burden, and we carry this burden. And if we're carrying this burden willfully, and we're carrying it out of our heart, that we don't dare not do it. It's something that we have this fearful understanding that, boy, you know what this is? We are God's only plan. We're his delivery system. Wow, if we screw this up, then what's to come of this? Folks, there's no plan B, right? We're his delivery system, and so we've got to take that responsibility seriously. Read again verse 11. But because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. This isn't just some passive thing that we do, that we try to strike up a Christian conversation, but we're actually working hard to persuade others. God knows we're sincere, and I hope that you know this too. Jump down with me to verse 13. If it seems we're crazy, well, it's to bring glory to God. But if we're in our right minds, well, it's for your benefit. He's like, yeah, I know we're living our life in this radical way, and if it looks like we're crazy, well, we're just trying to bring glory to God with how we're living, with this reckless abandon, working hard to proclaim who he is. But if we're right, well, it's for everyone's benefit. But either way, here's what's driving us, verse 14. Either way, Christ loves controlling us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have to all die to our old self. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Did you see that? Christ died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. This is a hard part because I want to live for myself, but I have to remember that I'm a child of God, called for the kingdom of God, for the purpose of God. I'm his delivery system. What happened in my heart just can't stay in my heart. It's got to come out of my mouth. And not just because it should naturally do that, but because I have this responsibility to do that. I no longer can live for myself. Instead, it says, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. Verse 16. So we've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. We don't look at people as worthy of this message or not. At one time, we used to do that. We thought of Christ merely from a human point of view, but how differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has come. That means if you're a believer here today, this should be true of you. We all want to celebrate the life change, but we want to forget sometimes that we have this kingdom responsibility, this fearful responsibility, that what happened in our head that moved to our heart and what moves to our heart must come out of our mouths in order to make him known. Verse 18, and all this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. Here's the task. You and I have a task to reconcile people with God. Those that are far from God, we're basically saying, come on, come on, come on. There's a God who loves you. Come on, come on, come on. I know you've done so many wrong things, but there's a God who forgives you. Come on, come on, come on. There's a God that I know that you turned your back on him and think that you've wandered away so far that he would never give you and reestablish this friendship and this relationship, this lordship in your life, but he can. God's given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Folks, we have that's why we call it the good news. It's just wonderful information. That no matter who you are and what you've done, God will reconcile you. God can fix it. And this morning, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord, if you feel like you're still kind of far away and maybe God's waiting for you to get to a certain place in your life before he would offer to you what seems to have been offered to everyone else around you, I want to tell you that Satan is putting that lie inside of you this morning to tell you that what it is that you have to get to some level of attainment before God will give you his favor. That's not truth. The truth of God's word says that no matter what you've done, God loves you and he wants to change your life. He wants to take this old life that you have and he wants to exchange it for a brand new life. What a beautiful thing. No matter how bad it is, he wants to give you a new life. This morning, if you want to know more about that, I want you to make sure you talk to me before you leave today. I want you to talk to any one of my staff members today to get that information and to get that right. because ultimately this is the most important decision that you could ever make. When you come into this place, this is our my desire, is that you would hear the message of hope, you would hear the message of freedom, and that one day would surrender your life to Him. Church family, when you come into this place, I want you to always hear that message of hope and that message of freedom. I want God to be able to guide and lead and direct your life. I want God to be able to speak to you from this setting as you worship Him, as you sacrifice to Him through your giving, and as you come into this place and surrender your lives to Him, I want you to be able to experience that. This should be a great place of filling up for the purpose, though, to be poured out. God has given us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Verse 20. So here's what it all boils down to. You see, you and I, we are Christ ambassadors. What does that mean? Well, it means this. God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. We are God's ambassadors. We are, when we speak for Christ, when we say, come back to God. We are God's delivery system. There is no plan B. And how beautiful the feet of the messenger that brings the good news of Jesus Christ. I want you to write down in your message guide that what happens here in the church has got to get out there. What happens here in our church has got to get out there. What happened on the mountain couldn't stay on the mountain. It had to get down to the people of God. What happened in your head can't just stay in your head. It has to move down into your heart and so that you can confess with your mouth, because what happens in the heart doesn't just stay in the heart. You see, our salvation was just not for our benefit to have a healthy heart in terms of our sin being cleaned up and we have a right relationship with God. If all it is, it moves from our head to our heart and stays there, you and I are just consumers of Christianity. We're consumers of the grace that God gave us, but there is more to the responsibility. It comes in our heart and has to come out of our mouth. That's why there's the measure that says that when we believe in God, that we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth. And some of us have stopped or stopped trying or don't even have a desire to confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. But it's the only way that that message is going to reach the community that needs to hear it. We are God's delivery system. He doesn't have a plan B. When we come into this place as a church, it feels good to worship with our friends. It feels good to sing songs of praise. It feels good to have programs in small groups so we can do life together. All that is absolutely fantastic. What a joy that church has that level of responsibility. But what happens in here, and as great as the worship can be and as great as our experience with God can be, it can't stay in here. What happens in here has got to get out there. Why is it that our lives look so different sometimes from in here versus out there? Is it that much harder? Or have we bought into a duped lie that Satan wants us to buy into, that it's really hard to do this and nobody wants to hear it and it won't be fruitful or successful, you're just wasting your time, you're going to get in trouble at work, your uncle's not going to love you, your sister's going to stop talking to you. Satan's putting all these messages in your heart because he knows what's at stake, he knows what hangs in the balance of you just being bold enough to make sure this message gets out. You realize that we're not trying to convince people to be perfect. If that was the case, you and I would be unqualified for that job because we're not perfect people and they would see the hypocrisy in us. All our responsibility is just to acknowledge the fact that God is working on me and I'm kind of a mess in His presence, Lord, but I have this burden inside my heart that I want you to know at least what I know. And that is, my old life is gone and a new life has come, and a new life that has come has become a more beautiful thing the longer that I pursue Him, as I get to know Him more, as I make sure that people know all the stuff that's happening in my life, as I'm making Him known. You see, folks, there's a responsibility that we have, and it should be a joyful responsibility. It should be a byproduct of the gratitude that you and I have inside our hearts. You see, every one of us has a circle of influence that we can share Christ with. And so in your message guide, fill in some blanks with me as we kind of walk this through together. That you and I need to realize that we have people that we have relationships with and influence. Those are two blanks for you to fill in, the very first two blanks. Relationships and influence. That you and I have a circle of influence. There's people that we have a direct relationship with. It may be family. It may be a close personal friend. It may be somebody that you've just known all your life, and there's a great friendship. They know more about you than most other people do. You have a rapport with them. You have an understanding. They know your heart. They know your transparency. And they know your faults and those things, but they still love you and want to be around you. Those are the people that you have relationships with. But in addition to that, you have people in your life that you have influence over. You may be a person who's a leader or a district manager or a sales manager, an assistant manager. You may be someone who's a team leader or someone on a sales team, and you're the top of the crop. You're one of those people to be reckoned with, that everyone knows their name. Everyone's kind of watching. Everyone's trying to get their sales to line up with what you're doing. But there's a people who want to talk to you, who want to know you on a first-name basis. They're the people that keep introducing themselves to you because they see something in you that's attractive. But these are the people that God has placed in your life that you have influence over. Maybe you're a teacher. Maybe you sell real estate. Maybe you're a doctor. But God has placed you in an area where you have influence and voice. So there's areas we have relationships with where that's just a natural one-on-one brothers and sisters that we can communicate with. But there's other people that we just have opportunity to be influence over. And so as much as it is that our message is supposed to go out to the entire world, man, let's don't get overwhelmed yet with the entire world. Why don't you just get a little burdened for your circle of influence and your relationships that you have around you? Do you have a burden for them? The next thing to fill in is you need to feel burdened for their salvation. If I was to ask you, are you burdened? If you had five people in your life that you know you have a relationship or influence over or influence with, and I was to ask you as a pastor, do you have a burden for them? Your answer should be, oh, of course I do, right? Because you would imagine that that's what I would want you to hear. I would want to hear you say. But I want you to be honest with yourself. Don't fake it. I want you to be honest with yourself. If there's five people in your life that you know don't know the Lord, but you have a friendship with, relationship with, or influence over, do you have a burden for them? Be honest with yourself. And you know what? It's okay to say, I don't have a burden. I know they're lost, but I just don't feel like a burden over it. Be honest with yourself. Because it's that honesty that is going to allow you to pray the right prayer to God and say, Lord, give me a fire in my soul. Give me a burden in my soul. Because I know the hope that you've given me, but for some reason, there is something about me that doesn't really care if I share this message. I want someone else to do it, don't get me wrong, God, but I just don't know if I'll sacrifice the time to do it. I don't know if I have the energy. I don't want to take the risk. That's a real prayer, folks, to pray to God. Please don't pray to God with some vain babbling which says, Lord, give me a passion for, I want to just witness. If you really don't, just be honest with yourself. If you don't feel it, don't fake it. But ask God to give you that fire. Ask God to burden your heart for their salvation. That's a really important thing. I hope you hear me, because I have to pray that prayer myself. Because it takes energy and effort sometimes. It interrupts my day, it interrupts my time. And if I don't have a burden, I won't take responsibility when I have the opportunity. So the next thing is pray for the opportunity. If you have a burden, then you have to pray for the opportunity. All right, Lord, look, now you've given me a burden. I get it. My cousin needs to hear from you. My sister needs to hear from me. My neighbor needs to hear. They need to hear this hope that I have. But I don't want to be awkward with it. I can't imagine right now just knocking on their door and saying, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? Because that's out of my comfort zone, Lord. So can you tee up the opportunity? Can you put it right there for me so that there's just this conversation that kind of leads this way? Can you give me the opportunity to take? And once you pray for the opportunity, well, here's the most important part, prepare for the opportunity, because if you're praying for it and you have a burden for the lost, you are getting the opportunity. Prepare for it. Write that down in your blank. So you pray for the opportunity, then you prepare for the opportunity, and then there's going to be that moment in time where you're going to find yourself waiting for your car to get picked up. You're going to find yourself driving on a long trip on your way somewhere and you're stuck in traffic. You're going to find yourself after a movie's ended and you're sitting around having a cup of coffee. There's going to be this moment in time where God's going to say, that's it. This is it. Come on. Did you hear what they just said? They just said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't figure out what it is that my next step in my life is going to be. I'm so afraid. I'm so worried. All of a sudden, they're saying words and phrases that all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, I'm a comforter. I'm a peace giver. I'm a way maker. I'm a guide. I'm a shepherd. I'm a leader. And I'm a forgiver. And I'm a life changer. Come on. I've teed it up for you. Get out there and say it. Take hold of the opportunity. Folks, it's my desire that we would do that. You see, in just a couple weeks, we have a great opportunity to do Saturate Tampa on November 3rd. And we have an incredible privilege because we actually have a great connection to the Jesus Film Project. We have a great connection within our church, and I want to introduce you to him today. His name is Matt Thiessen. Matt, would you come up to the stage with me, brother? So Matt is, let's say hi to Matt Thiessen for me. So Matt is not only an incredible fisherman, personally I know that, I've never seen the pictures of the fish this guy catches are insane, but I'm more excited about the fishers of men side of you and the fact that you have a real burden for the lost. It's a real legit thing, you've given your life over to it, it's your life work, it's a joy to have you. This is Linda and Sonny Glassbrenner's son, so if you haven't had a chance to meet him, you can say hi to him later, but would you just kind of talk to us a little bit about your role with Jesus Film and just kind of take some time and share with the passion behind all this, all right?
Absolutely, thank you, Steve.
Cool, thank you, buddy. Yes, sir.
You guys are very fortunate to have a pastor like Steve. I have a kindred spirit when I'm with Steve. He's a good guy. I looked at your church's website last night, and on the front page, the splash page of the website, there's a man holding a sign, and it says, life change is possible. And yeah, there's a lot of hope in those words. My story, you see this slide, this picture here. My story, that's me on the left. That's me when I was 20 years old. And I was a drug addict, and I was far from God. And people were praying for me. And God spoke to me at a Grateful Dead concert, of all places, in Las Vegas. And a couple of months later, I found myself on my knees in a church like this, surrendering my life to Jesus, and I was born again. And life change is possible. And this is my family now, my wife Liz, my 15-year-old son Levi, my daughter, 10-year-old daughter Lexi. And this is my testimony of the fact that life change is possible, but I'm still counting on the fact and the hope that life change is possible because I still need a loving, merciful, gracious God who doesn't treat me as my sins deserve. Life change is still possible. And I still need God to change me, and I'm counting on that. You know, I love that Steve said your church's mantra here is to know God more, to make him known, and to make disciples. This morning I'm talking a little bit about making him known. I work with Jesus Film Project, which is part of the Campus Crusade for Christ, or CRU ministry, started by Bill and Vonette Bright in 1951. It's on most universities, Campus Crusade for Christ, CRU, in the United States and across the world. Also Family Life, Athletes in Action. There's 50 or so ministries under the Campus Crusade umbrella. Jesus Film Project is one of those ministries. The film Jesus was created by Warner Brothers in 1979, so it's almost 40 years old. It's the most watched film in all of history, with 8.5 billion viewings. Some people have watched it more than once. But it's also the most translated film in all of history. We have almost 1,700 translations now. The next closest film is The Lion King at about 220, I think, something like that. So it's the most translated, most watched film in history. This next slide here. You have to forgive me. I work as the development director, so I raise funds for Jesus Film Project. And this slide is actually from one of those events. But this is a 2016 number, so I thought this was a 2017 slide. At any rate, In 2016 alone, 215 million people interacted with Jesus Film Project. In 2017, it was up to 375 million. In 2016, 39, almost 40 million put their faith in Jesus. In 2017, it was 42 million indicated first-time decisions to follow Jesus across the world. So that's fantastic. It is. And it's extremely inspiring to go into some of these places and see that God has prepared hearts for people who have never heard the name of Jesus. And now they hear in their heart language, God speaking to them, saying, I love you, in their heart language, and their heart's already prepared, and they receive Christ. Well, that's what you guys are going to have the opportunity to do on November 3rd with Saturate Tampa. And I don't remember what's the zip code that you guys are responsible for? 33559. Okay, so you guys are responsible for 33559, 6,150 households. And the opportunity here is to give every person an opportunity to hear Jesus, to hear the gospel, to understand the gospel. You're going to hand out these little door hangers, and this is an effort that's going on all across the United States. So it's part of Saturate USA. It's been going on for about a year now. And in each of these little door hangers, there's a Jesus Film DVD that has three films on it. The original film, Jesus, in eight languages. The story of Jesus for Children, which is an hour adaptation for children. And Magdalena, Released from Shame, which is a film geared towards more towards women. In each of these door hangers, they'll have that DVD, also this little track, Would You Like to Know God Personally, an app card, which tells you about our app. You could talk to me about that in the back. It's fantastic. I'll show you in the back after the service. You can just click on a map, and 1,700 languages appear. All the countries appear. You can click on any country. All the languages for that country appear, and you can share the gospel with somebody by text or email in Home Depot while you're in the checkout line. I do it all the time. It's fantastic. It's really easy. But also in that thing, you're going to have a note from your church, a little flyer from your church saying, hey, we're North Point Church, and we just wanted you to have this gift. And by the way, if you'd like to, please visit us. What we've found with this Saturate USA campaign is that as people go out and hang these door hangers on their neighbors' doors with this invitation, there's usually about a 30% increase in the local church attendance as you guys are going to be responsible for this zip code. I would imagine you'll see about a 30% increase in your church attendance. And each of those 6,150 households is going to have the gospel, access to the gospel, in multiple languages. Kurt and Aaron Hensley in Scottsdale, Arizona, live in the dream, 6,000 square foot house, own four companies, making bank and climbing every ladder that there was. And Kurt realized his life was empty. He had the ladder against the wrong wall, and he needed, something was missing. Someone ended up giving him a copy of the Jesus film on DVD. He was looking. God was already working in his heart. He took it home. He and his wife watched the Jesus film that night separately and secretly from each other. They prayed to receive Christ. It wasn't until couple of months later that they told each other about it, which, you know, talks about their marriage communication. But God had been working in their hearts, and someone just handed him a DVD with the gospel on it. Same with Robin here locally in part of Saturate Orlando. She was out prayer walking and handing out these DVDs, just hanging them on the doors. And she met a man, one of her neighbors she'd never met before, and he seemed downcast. So she said, hey, can I pray for you? Is there anything I can pray for you for? And he said, actually, yeah, I have stage 4 cancer. And, you know, he kind of unloaded that. And she prayed for him, and afterwards they got in a conversation, and he ended up praying to receive Christ with her, and she followed up with him. He watched the Jesus film, and started to, 6 weeks later, he passed away. But he had an opportunity to pray to receive Jesus. And now for all of eternity, he'll be with Jesus in heaven. So you never know who you're going to meet when you're out in reaching these 6,150 households. Your opportunity is on November 3rd. As Steve has said, we are God's delivery system. I hope you guys will not pass up this opportunity. It's low-hanging fruit. It's not a lot of cost to you. A couple of hours, spending time. You can organize the family. Kids love to do this. Organize the family. Go out for a couple of hours. Cover this zip code and trust that God is preparing hearts and that he'll use these tools to bring people to himself. All we have to do, we are his delivery system. We have a very small part, and we'll trust God with the big part of it. Don't miss the opportunity. By the way, today is football, NFL. I'm a Denver fan. I know it's terrible times for Denver right now, but Peyton Manning, John. Anyway, we once had a good team. At any rate, imagine the NFL stadium. You know the view from the Goodyear blimp? You know when you see the stadiums from the Goodyear blimp and you see, look down on the stadium? So that's about 75,000 people in a stadium, roughly. Two of those stadiums every day, about 150,000 to 160,000 people every single day pass away from the earth. The vast majority of those people don't know Jesus, and they have they're living in darkness now, but they have a horrible experience on that other moment when they find out that eternity is going to be without God. Don't miss the opportunity. Don't miss the chance. November 3rd, Saturate Tampa.
Awesome. Steve? Man, praise God. Matt, thank you so much. What happens on the mountain, can't stay on the mountain. What happens in the head, it's got to move to the heart. What happens to the heart, it's got to get out to our circle of influence. That's what our responsibility is. And what happens inside here has got to get out there in our community. Our heart's desire is that North Point Church would not be known in our community, but that Jesus Christ would be known in our community. And how we do that, it's not through slick marketing, it's just through the hands and feet and the people of the church. And so in your circle of influence, you have a chance to be able to share Christ with those that you have relationships with and influence with. And in our community, God's placed us here. We know that church buildings don't change lives, but what happens inside, this is where life change happens, and we've got to let them know that they can experience life change through watching a video and understanding who Jesus Christ is, and then having a community and a fellowship of believers who can help them know God more, learn to make him known themselves, and we disciple them to do the same thing. Imagine the exponential growth, and imagine what holds in the balance with every one of these things that we will pass out. Some of you have already received something like this from a church in your area. We've intentionally decided that November 3rd would be our day because our bonfire bash is only a couple weeks after that. It's a place for them to come on this campus and experience just what it means to be around the church people. And hopefully they'll be able to see, you know what, I like this. Let me see if there's some more authentic people inside this building and see what goes on. We pray that they'll come in here and discover hope and healing and freedom in Jesus Christ. But I need your help. November 3rd is going to be the time, and you need to plan your day accordingly. It'll be on 8 o'clock in the morning and 9 o'clock in the morning. It'll be two launch windows that we have. And this is something that we're not requiring you to knock on doors and have conversations with. All we want you to do is simply, this is the plan. You simply walk up to the house, place it on the door, and walk away. It's a free gift. It's not soliciting. We're not giving. We're not asking you for anything. And we're not even asking you to have a conversation. Maybe sometimes God's going to let you bump into someone. You're going to be able to pray for them. Maybe they want to start a conversation. But our goal is not going to be confrontational, not going to be over high church and kind of creepy. All we're going to do is take one, drop it on the door, and go. What I picture is families of five, families of four, families of three, and small groups partnering together and say, we can do this. Let's do this. Dropping someone off on this side of the neighborhood, and the other group on this side of the neighborhood will meet up in the middle, and we'll move on to the next one. Imagine how many we can reach if we do this together. It says that we are Christ's ambassadors, that we are making an appeal for Christ. We are making an appeal when we say, come back to God. For some, they're so far from God, coming back to God doesn't seem like a reality, but we're saying, come to God. And for some that these DVDs are going to land in are people who have already understood what it means to have a relationship with God, but they've wandered alone on their own way. We are Christ's ambassadors. We are making an appeal for God through us. We're His delivery system. God's word says, how beautiful are the feet of those who spread good news. What a perfect picture of Saturate Tampa that's going to be for us. What I envision is that our church, the majority of our church, is going to say, I'm in. I'm a partner with this. And that the more hands that we have, the less work that we individually have collectively, but we can work together as a big team. But imagine how beautiful your feet are going to be to God in heaven as He says, you got it. You understand it. You're moving from being a consumer Christian to being a contributor to the kingdom of God. Wow. How great will you feel that day? And what a discipleship opportunity to make disciples to your children as they walk with you, making Him known in the community, as you describe how important it is to know God more because He changes lives. You see, all that works together, knowing God more, making Him known, and making disciples. If you bring your kids to partner on this plan, they're going to experience that. And they're going to also see that mom and dad's life aligns with what they believe. They believe that God is the center of their life, and they seem to have action that's associated with it. It's all about alignment, and I hope that you'll take it seriously. Let's all stand together as we close out our service.